الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم If anyone's car is blocking in the parking lot, white Chevrolet, if they can please move it. Every week we get together, and our gathering consists of the same sequence of events. We sit down and we have a short reminder, after which we do a short silent dhikr. And this gathering has been going on for, I don't know, years, more than years, maybe 10 years. Somebody can sit down and count, but certainly it's been a very long time. The essence of the gathering, however, and the greatest part, the greatest piece of the gathering, actually does not lie in the talk and does not lie in the silent dhikr. It actually lies in the fact that we get the opportunity to come to the masjid and we get the opportunity to pray Maghrib Salah. This is really the most special part of the gathering. And we should be very clear about that. The intention when we come here is first and foremost to fulfill the mandate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon our shoulder. 5 times a day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated upon us salah, and the mandate of Maghrib is upon us, and the way by which we can fulfill that mandate to the utmost degree is to pray that Maghrib salah in jama'ah in the masjid. So the fact that in this gathering, we get the opportunity to pray Maghrib Salah in the masjid in jama'ah, this part of the gathering supersedes anything else that we do. And we should be extremely grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this opportunity arises and that we take advantage of it. And this should be made very clear, because this is the purpose of our existence. Meaning, what is the purpose of our training? What is the purpose of our dhikr? What is the purpose of our reminder? The purpose of our training, the purpose of our dhikr, the purpose of our reminder is to fulfill the mandates that are upon our shoulder. We cannot supersede those mandates. We cannot leave the bounds of those mandates. So the goal is very simple. The goal of our deen is very simple. It's certain things have been assigned to us. We must fulfill them with excellence. And certain things have been prohibited from us, we must avoid those with excellence. Avoid those to the best of our ability. What this gathering does is that it ignites and energizes us towards those goals. So that's there's a distinction there. It's a tool. So it is a tool that allows us to fulfill our mandates in the best way possible. So why is that important? It's important for a few reasons. Number one, it's important for our intention. Our intention when we come to the gathering is that we have an opportunity to come and pray Maghrib Salah in Jama'ah, behind an imam. That's the intention. And that's where the benefit lies. 99.99% of the benefit lies in that when we come here. And the icing on the cake is that we'll get an opportunity to sit, people will be able to take time out of their schedules, people will be able to be reminded of deen, people will be able to have a short opportunity to sit together and do silent dhikr, of which the purpose of the dhikr is in and of itself, it's an act of worship, but more importantly, it's a tool by which we ignite our hearts in order to excel in our acts of worship. So we should be very clear about our intention. That's one important aspect of understanding the gathering. Another important aspect of understanding the gathering is that we should always remember our goals. The goal of this path is not the path in and of itself. The goal of this path is the Sharia and the Sunnah. That is what we are aiming for. A person can achieve perfection in any lesson of dhikr, but it means nothing in and of itself unless it effectuates a change in the person so that they achieve the goals of the Sharia and the Sunnah. What does that mean? That means that the tool, no matter how good you get with the tool, if you cannot perform the function of the tool, it doesn't make a difference. Look, if you have a drill and you say, I can drill the most perfect hole, okay, and you just keep drilling perfect holes in a piece of wood, but you can never build anything or do anything with it, then people would say, okay, well, you can drill a perfect hole, but what's the actual purpose? The purpose of the drill is not to just keep drilling holes. The purpose of the drill is that it allows you to create something. Let's say you're building a house or you're fixing a wall or whatever it might be. It allows you to achieve a goal. And when you can use the tool to achieve your goal with excellence, then you know that the tool is properly functioning. So our goal is to produce a tool. Our purpose is to effectuate and to take advantage of a tool. And that tool should result in something that changes our lives as far as deen is concerned. If I'm sitting around and doing my lessons, but my akhlaq don't change, my ibadah doesn't change, my focus from dunya does not change to akhirah, then I am just merely playing with a tool. It's only when these changes occur that I can then claim that the tool is actually performing its function. So this is the second thing that we have to understand. And the third thing we have to understand is that when you understand that this is a tool, then you have to recognize that, the way by which you judge is by looking at the goal. When the goal is achieved, that's how you know that the tool is properly functioning. So I may become, like we say, there could be a person who floats in the sky. There could be a person who floats in the sky and who walks on water. It means nothing to us. There could be a person who floats in the sky, who walks on water. It means nothing to us. What is meaningful to us is that a person is consistent on the Sharia and on the Sunnah. In fact, that is the miracle. If you want to look for miracles, you know, they say that when you're looking for an individual who is pious and you want to attach yourself to an individual who is pious, then people like to say, well, what was the miracle? Oh, what's the miracle? What miracle did this person perform? You read these books of old and people will say this was a very famous sheikh, and then the next paragraph is that he did this miracle and that miracle and this miracle and that miracle. Those are just a show. Unless they are associated with the sunnah, the excellence within the sunnah and the sharia. This is actually the mark of excellence. Everything else is secondary. So we judge according to that. We judge ourselves according to that. We judge each other according to that. We judge our progress according to that. And this, again, has to be something that we need to remind ourselves of, because this then highlights another important aspect of who we are, which is that until we understand what our deen is, then we can never take advantage of the tool completely. For example, you have a drill and you learn how to drill a hole. Well, if you just keep learning how to drill a hole, but you don't ever learn how to put together the next step and how to be able to use that tool to be able to build a house, for example, then you will never be able to achieve your goal. So the tool in and of itself cannot exist until... The tool can never allow you to reach perfection until you understand the other circumstances surrounding that tool. So in the same way, you'll see that a very strong emphasis is placed on knowledge by our akabirin. A very strong emphasis is placed on knowledge of Quran and Sunnah by our akabirin. Now, why did they place such a strong emphasis on knowledge? Because that is the goal. That what is highlighted in knowledge is actually the goal that a person's trying to achieve through this path. So if you don't know where you're going, then it doesn't matter what vehicle you have. Right? There has to be a roadmap. If you're sitting and doing something to train yourself, but you have no idea where you're supposed to be eventually, then how will you reach that point? In fact, I will tell you that knowledge is so emphasized by our akabirin that some of the akabirin, some of our pious predecessors, rahmatullah alayhim, they used to say that even before a person takes foot on this path, they should first become masters of, or they should first become cognizant of, the foundations of deen. Even before a person takes foot on this path, they should first understand what the goals are. And the goal is obviously the foundations of what is required of us, what was prohibited upon us, what is mandated upon us, what we aim to achieve, what we'll be judged by on the day of judgment. So these things are very important to us. So how can it be that a person does not also pursue Islamic knowledge along with their suluk? And you'll see that people who are focused on progressing in this path, people who are desirous to achieve something in this path, they generally have an attachment and a focus on developing their Islamic knowledge at the same time. So we should be very, very clear of our goals. Because in this day and age, what happens is people get caught up in the means and they forget about what the goals are. And these things are very, very clearly written by our akabirin. So the goal is the Sharia and the Sunnah. And the tool is the igniting of the heart through dhikr. And the sign of progress is that excellence should arise in our acts of ibadah, and excellence should arise in our akhlaq. And every person who is a master of this path, or who has written about this path, or who has developed themselves on this path, they highlight the same principle, meaning this is something that is completely agreed upon. This is something that is completely agreed upon. We ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are able to achieve the goals of this path, and we ask that He make us among those who are able to achieve excellence in our acts of ibadah, in both our ibadat and our mu'amalat. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.